Occupy LA began on October 1st at City Hall in downtown Los Angeles. Shortly after, the largely dismissed, mostly misinterpreted orphan child of the Occupy movement became one of the largest and longest-standing U.S. occupations.
Hi, I'm Tim Cavanaugh for Reason TV. We're here with Sam Slavik, a journalist who has also made a series of movies about Occupy LA. Sam, thank you for joining us. You want to tell us a little bit about what we can look for and where we can find your work?
Right. Thanks for having me. Occupy LA, Scenes from the New Revolution is the name of the series, and it's a five-part series that I did with Take Part, which is the online arm of Participant Media. My intention really was, as soon as I started, found out about Occupy LA, I'm a journalist in Los Angeles, so if I'm not covering that, what am I doing? I'm not covering the Second American Revolution. So my intention was to get down there and do what I do best, and that is to find the people and meet the people and hear their story and tell their story.
What was the difference between Occupy LA and Occupy Wall Street, which even today is still the one that everybody refers to?
Occupy LA was at City Hall in Los Angeles, downtown, two blocks from Skid Row. They had a policy of inclusion, of all inclusion. So what immediately happened was there was an incursion of people from Skid Row, which includes parolees, people right out of county jail, people with mental health issues, people with addiction issues, all the issues. You could pick any one of them and trace the tracks of it back to the larger issue of the movement. Reportedly, the police were telling people who got out of county jail, go over there, there's free food at City Hall, and you could probably get a tent. So you had all these people camped on the front of City Hall. In the middle of that was a very high-functioning, expeditious group of activists.
Can you explain a little bit about the General Assembly way of, you know, the block and all that kind of stuff? It all seems like nostalgia at this point. It struck me as I would not want to have to live under this kind of organization. Better just a bunch of political hacks that you only have to worry about voting for them every 2 years or 4 years.
In some senses, what's going on the south steps of City Hall is the same thing that's going on in City Hall, hopefully the exception that they're not immoral like our politicians are.
Does that interest you? I mean, it seemed to me really dull. It seemed like, man, this is a completely process-oriented rather than, you know, product-oriented. And it was everything I don't like about government.
Like everybody else, I showed up with a lot of judgment. I showed up and kind of rolled my eyes and thought maybe I should walk across the street to the Conrad Murray trial. At least I can, you know, get a story or something. And the more I started to watch the GA, the more I realized that these people are going to change our country. They already have. They already are. You're having conversations with your children about, you know, economics and corrupt government that probably wouldn't have happened. Everybody is. People are talking about this. The conversation has begun. The process initially, when I sat in on GAs, was challenging because there's a lot of challenging personalities. There's a lot of people who want to be heard who've never had their voice heard before. And there's chaos because we're in LA by Skid Row. But the more I watched and the longer I watched, the more I was fascinated, completely engaged, and wanted it to go on longer.
What do you think of the media coverage? And specifically, what do you think of the difference between the media coverage of the Tea Party movement of 2010 and the Occupy movement of 2011?
The Tea Party was playing ball with the media. They're in the game. They're an aspect of the Republican Party, right? They're in the game, they're doing the dance. Occupy is something very different, and we haven't seen it before, and that's what's so incredibly powerful and, you know, potentially explosive.
So why is it that the Tea Party was dismissed in the New York Times as a racist organization by Robert Putnam, and the New York Times actually had a reporter embedded with the Occupy movement, who was in fact arrested on the Brooklyn Bridge?
Right. So
that sounds to me like it's the Occupy movement that's playing ball. I wouldn't say either one of them were playing ball, but I would say the media was much friendlier in its coverage of the Occupy movement than it was of the Tea Party movement.
But of course, the New York Times, you know, why wouldn't they be?
In favor of Occupy
Wall
Street.
Of course.
It seems like that's the establishment media, and you're claiming that the Occupy movement was anti-establishment.
Well, do you view the New York Times as a conservative newspaper?
I view it as the establishment newspaper.
Right, the left aspect of the establishment.
Yeah, possibly. Yeah, I think generally the Republicans and Democrats agree more than they disagree.
Well, because they're all in the same game. It's one-party corporate America.
What's the difference between a protest and an occupation?
There were protests. The Occupy movement that came out of the occupation, the 99% movement's occupation in Los Angeles, there were protests, right? But the occupation itself, you know, the occupation is the hub.
The city council voted a resolution in support of Occupy LA.
Right.
And everybody I spoke with, and we interviewed many, many, many people at the event, said we are here until there is reform or until there is a solution. Less than a month after the city council passes this resolution, it sends the police in to break up the movement. Did they not have any kind of duty of honor to let you guys stay as long as you wanted to?
You mean to let the occupation remain on this public property?
And, downtown, well, maybe we should explain for the viewers. Downtown LA is mostly, maybe almost 50% prairie land. I mean, there's a ton of publicly owned empty city blocks in downtown LA where the movement could have been accommodated. And in fact, why not just do it at City Hall? Why not allow people to stay at City Hall? There were porta potties there, and since the plumbing is what the media are always interested in at events. I mean, they were taking care of themselves, so why not? Why did they have to be moved out?
I was at a news conference with the mayor, one of his closed door news conferences that I shot right before when he made the announcement about the eviction. The rumor that I've heard is that he was, of course, getting a lot of pressure. You know, this looks bad. You got to get these people out of here. And second of all, that he personally was offended and wanted this occupation gone. In the beginning, he came down with rain ponchos. You know, it's a tactic. These are just tactics, of course. So that's what I heard. I heard it was coming, that he was essentially driving it, and then he was getting a lot of pressure, and he wanted this occupation gone.
The general consensus story was that the eviction went relatively well. There was nobody died and so forth.
I'm not sure if you heard the whole story, because I was actually interviewing a woman named Elise Whitaker, who was at the core of this whole thing, who's a 21-year-old activist, yesterday. She said they put her in jail for 3 days. The 14 hours of it was in, they put her in solitary confinement. And you're saying it went, there was a woman on the bus that kept people in buses for 8 hours. She was 85 years old, had to urinate in a plastic bag, so they wouldn't let them use the bathroom. So you're saying, well, it went pretty well. Well, I guess in terms of...
Well, I didn't say it in that namby-pamby mimicking voice that you just used. Our producer, Paul, was there for the eviction. And, it went quickly. It was over by the end of the day. None of the abuses that you're talking about ended up getting media play. So what I'm saying is that the narrative that you laid out, that the LAPD was looking to be the spiffy new officer-friendly that keeps the peace, they succeeded in passing that story along.
They did a fantastic job of an extreme show of force and arrested 300 people who were expressing their First Amendment rights on public property. So in that sense, it was a tremendous success. People say, what do these people want? Where's the list of demands? You know, and it's like it's an embryonic movement. The primordial ooze just bubbled up, and you can't throw a crayon into Da Vinci's baby crib and tell him to paint the Mona Lisa. It's not there yet, but you're going to be finding out for sure. We're all going to be finding out.
Terrific. All right, well, thank you very much, Sam Slavik. For Reason TV, I'm Tim Cavanaugh.